This is a Steps to Value special report.
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, also known as CMS, recently released its Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, or NPRM, for the Medicare Access and CHIP Reauthorization Act of 2015, also known as MACRA. MACRA outlines CMS's plan to transition healthcare providers from a payment system that rewards volume to one that rewards value. There are many components in the proposed rule, and in this podcast, we're going to cover some of the terms that you'll have to learn to better understand MACRA's proposed goals. My name is Adam Baser, Senior Manager, Health Information Systems at HIMSS, and today I will be speaking with Rod Pachowski, HIMSS's Senior Director, Health Information Systems, about these new terms and how they relate to one another. So let's begin. The first term we're looking at is eligible clinician. How does CMS describe what an eligible clinician is?
So, eligible clinician in this NPRM has the meaning of the term eligible professional as defined in Section 1848K3. It's identified by a unique tax ID number and the national provider identifier combination, and it means any of the following: a physician, a practitioner, a physical or occupational therapist, or a qualified speech-language pathologist, or a qualified audiologist.
All right, next up is the term qualified APM participant. What does that mean?
Well, first we need to take a look at the definition of an APM, which stands for Alternative Payment Model. An APM could be a model as well as a shared savings program or other demonstrated alternative payment model. And to be a qualified APM participant, you have to be an eligible clinician as determined by CMS as having met or exceeded the relevant payment amount or patient count qualified professional threshold for a year based on participation in an advanced APM entity.
Okay, you just mentioned the term advanced APM entity. That brings up a number of questions. First, what is it?
So an advanced APM is one that CMS determines meet the criteria, and these criteria have been set forth in the regulation 414.1415, and we can't get into that right now, but that's where the actual definition is located. And the criteria described in that regulation defines the criteria for an advanced APM as the use of certified electronic health record technology, payment based on quality measures, and financial risk.
Okay, then is there a difference between an APM entity and an advanced APM entity?
Yeah, indeed. The only difference, though, is based on whether the alternative payment model qualifies as advanced or not. An entity can participate in an APM, other payer APM, advanced APM, or other payer advanced APM through a direct agreement with CMS or a non-Medicare payer, respectively.
Okay, another term we're seeing often is in the proposed rule is APM entity group. What exactly is that?
So the APM entity group referred to in this proposal is a group of eligible clinicians participating in an APM entity identified by a combination of the APM identifier, the APM entity identifier, the taxpayer identification number, and the national provider identifier for each participating eligible clinician.
Okay. In the Merit-Based Incentive Payment System, or MIPS, section of the proposed rule, it describes something called a composite performance score. What is that score and how does it affect clinicians?
Well, the composite performance score, or CPS, and this is an acronym you're going to hear a lot of these you will, but the CPS is the composite performance score. It's a composite assessment for each MIPS eligible clinician for a specific performance period determined using a particular methodology for assessing the total performance for a MIPS-eligible clinician. And the CPS is then the sum of each of the products of each performance category score and each performance category's assigned weight.
And what is this composite performance score made up of?
Well, here's where we get into more categories and more acronyms and terms. There are four categories that CMS wants to use to compile the composite performance score according to this NPRM. So first is the quality category. And that category replaces the Physician Quality Reporting System, or PQRS, and the quality component of the Value Modifier Program. And this category will account for 50% of the composite performance score in the first year. So physicians need to choose 6 measures from over 200, and the additional population measures will be calculated based on claims data, with the number of measures depending on the group size.
Okay, that's the first category. What's the second?
So next up is the advancing care information category, and that category is another one that we'll all come to be familiar with if this all becomes final in the final rule. The category called advancing care information replaces the EHR incentive program for physicians, and that's what we've always known as meaningful use. So the category accounts for 25% of CPS in the first year. And for the category, you have to use certified EHR technology. You will choose to report measures specific to its use that have an emphasis on interoperability and information exchange. Those two areas are of great importance to CMS, and you'll see it throughout this rule. The category also consists of a base score and a performance score. And we don't have anywhere near enough time to go into detail on those two components, but there's a lot more available on the composite performance score methodology in some fact sheets available on the HIMSS website.
Okay, so we've looked at two of the categories of the CPS. What are the other two?
The third is the clinical practice improvement activities category, which accounts for 15% of the CPS in the first year. And in this area, there are over 90 options available for entities to choose to demonstrate improvement for 9 of those options. And then finally, there's the fourth category, the resource use category. And this replaces the cost component of the value modifier program. The category accounts for 10% of the composite performance score in the first year. And there are over 40 episode-specific measures in the category, and it's calculated by CMS based on claims data, which means there's no reporting anyone has to do directly for this category.
Okay, wow. Lots of terms and definitions to learn. Where can I get more information?
Sure. HIMSS has set up a macro resource center, and it includes fact sheets on many aspects of this proposed rule. And you can find additional terms and definitions and fact sheets on that site, including some specific to MIPS and some specific to the APM portion of that.
And how do people find these fact sheets on the HIMSS website?
Go to HIMSS.org and look for the macro graphic at the top of the page. And if you click on that graphic, it will take you to the Macro Resource Center. And you can also find it by going directly to HIMSS.org/macro-resource-center. So it's HIMSS.org/macro-resource-center with hyphens in between the three words there.
Rod, thank you for walking us through these terms and definitions today.
My pleasure. This proposed rule represents a substantial change in the way the value of care is determined and how physicians will be paid as a result of that value. CMS is asking for comments on a wide variety of topics contained in the proposed rule. You may comment as an individual, and you may also contribute your thoughts to the comments offered by HIMSS. Watch for messages about how to participate in upcoming calls through the usual channels, your committees, communities, task forces, work groups, and your local chapters.
Well, there's no way we can hope to cover everything new in this proposed rule in the time that we have for this episode. You can find much more detail on this topic and many others on the HIMSS.org website. There you'll find a collection of fact sheets prepared by HIMSS content experts, as well as links to the entire text of the proposed rule. This episode is just one of several special reports on this proposed rule, and stay tuned for more. Steps to Value is co-produced by Rod Pahowski. Guest relations and logistics are handled by Rhonda Frazier. I'm Adam Baser. See you next time on Steps to Value.